Don't you love just worshipping Jesus? Are you a worshipper? Are you a warrior? God is looking for both worshippers and warriors in this season that will fight for him and for what is right. So, Better Stronger Together 40, the final frontier, the final one. Before we translate, yeah, someone said, yeah, that's good, 40 times, I'm glad it's finished. It's been a journey. But where we're going now is even a bigger journey. Look around, see how many faces you don't know. Even Emmanuel and I are struggling. Who's that? What was? I used to know the name of everybody. Emmanuel said to me, who's that person? I always say to Emmanuel, who's that person? If you're visiting us today, we pray you'll stay and enjoy that time with us. In the last part, 39, we talked about Jesus being the vine. Sorry, am I keeping you awake? Just put the camera here. We talked about Jesus, about being in the vine, about remaining in the vine, about abiding in the vine. Because you see, we cannot, it's impossible to live this Christian life unless we remain in the vine. It's absolutely impossible. The only way we can survive in this world is to remain in the vine. And if you read autobiographies or biographies of people, anybody you'd like to do that apart from me? Just me then. Alan, I'm ringing here, mate. I don't know why. Just that. Many people buy biographies of people's lives, don't they? They read the story at the end and the epilogue. You feel depressed. You put the book on the shelf and it gathers dust. I think some people are cold down here. You might need to turn the air conditioning off. I'm fine, but they read the book and go, well, that was depressing then, wasn't it? And put it on the shelf and it just gathers dust. How many of you got autobiographies on your shelf of people where it's just gathering dust? Come on, put your hands up. Do you know one in one of those authors, do you know what happens to them? They all die. That's the end. You can read about their life and their good and the bad and the ugly, but every one of them die. Yet we've got an autobiography here of someone that died but to life. The greatest life of all. What's his name?
Jesus.
And his story is so much different. Not only does Jesus continue to live, but in his biography, there are things written that haven't yet happened. There are significant chapters that are prophetic and have not yet become history. Does that make sense? Jesus prophesies, he talks about himself in his biography, in his book, of significant chapters that are yet to be seen. Yet he talks about them. Matthew 24, verse 3 to 6. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is what? Don't be alarmed. Don't be worried. When you hear these things and when you see these things, the end is still to come. Matthew 24, 30 to 31. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations on the earth will mourn. Whoa. It's going to be great grief when Jesus returns. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds. Go back. Go back a bit, Fran. From one end of the heavens to the other. Matthew 24:42. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. Jesus writes all of these things in his biography, in his chapters that are prophetic but are not yet history. One more. John 14:1-3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. These promises and other promises that Jesus makes in his biography makes him different from any other historical figure that has ever walked this world or will ever walk this world. Arnie Schwarzenegger said, "I'll be back." Where did he nick that from? Jesus. Jesus said it a long time before. I will return. Jesus did not say when he would return. He tells us how we will know he will return, but he does not give us the exact date. Centuries ago in America, some of the early church people that were misled and became a cult were told that on this specific day, at this specific time, Jesus would return. They gave all their possessions away to all their neighbours. They got a ladder and they stood onto the top of their roof, waiting for Jesus to return so he could take them in the sky. They kicked the ladder down so they couldn't get off the roof, and they waited. And they waited, and it got dark. No sign of Jesus. And they're standing, looking up with their arms up to heaven, waiting for Jesus to return. And he didn't. Because if somebody tells you Jesus is returning on a certain date and time, they are not telling you the truth. Because nobody knows. But what we do know is Jesus said we need to be ready. And part of us changing into the Oasis Army is we are building a people who are getting ready for the Lord and Saviour to return. We're not standing on the roofs yet. We're not giving all our stuff away yet. But we've got to be prepared to give away all our stuff. We've got to be prepared to get on the roof and to be ready. Does that make sense? So Stronger, Better Together has been helping us to understand who Jesus is, to understand what Jesus said, to believe that he's the greatest life of all, he's the saviour of the world, and he's the only one that we can put our trust in. And as a church, that we are building our faith to where we are today, for greater things are yet to come in this city. Do you believe it? Yeah. And we're transitioning into something far more than we've ever had before. And I very briefly want to talk about four things: death, destiny, the resurrection, and Jesus' return. Very briefly, because we haven't got time to look at all those, but we're going to try and go through those as quickly as I can. Let's look at death. 1 Corinthians 15:19-26. Paul writes this to the Corinthian church: if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, all authority and power. For he must reign until he has pulled all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. When Paul writes to the Christian body of believers, he's writing to a whole group of people that are under persecution. You see, there were no benefits, worldly benefits, to become a Christian. If you become a Christian, you didn't go up the social ladder. If you decide to become a Christian, a number of things would more than likely happen. First of all, you would lose your job. Your family, if you were Jewish, would turn your back on you. And if you couldn't work with the family and didn't have a job, that meant you had no food. That means you were poor. More than likely, for every Christian that lived in Paul's days, they were at least persecuted to some level. Many of them died. That was the benefit of becoming a Christian. Become a Christian and all your problems start. And Paul is writing to them saying, if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, everybody, you should feel sorry for us. We should be pitied more than anybody else because we're going through all this persecution. We're laying down our lives. We're losing our family. We're losing our rights, not that they had many. We're losing everything. And if Jesus had not been raised from the dead and had not forgiven us from our sins and not restored us to the Father, then what is the point? But, you say, but. Jesus is raised from the dead. He is the one that forgives sins. He is the one that restores us back to the Father. He is the one that gives us hope and a future. Many people today in many nations will give their life for Jesus today. There are Christians that are in prisons in China that are starving to death because they follow Jesus. In Korea, there are Christians that have been killed today. Will it ever come here? Oh no, we live in Great Britain, don't we? Never happen here, will it? Who believes it will never happen here? So I don't. I think it will happen. Already now, the laws that are trying to be pushed forward are trying to marginalise and ostracise Christians. If you're a Christian, you might not be able to get a job. If you're a Christian, you could be put in prison. If I refuse to marry somebody of the same sex, which I won't do, I could go to prison with some of the new laws that are coming. So don't think it won't happen here. So we need to prepare ourselves now for what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. We have to. We have to get our lives ready now. Make the decision. And Paul says in this verse that the resurrected Jesus would conquer all evil, including death. As we study the Word of God, it teaches us that death is not an end of life. When we die, some people say, well, we just cease to exist then, don't we? There's nothing out there. But there is. There is a destiny for every person. Every person is destined to die once and then the judgment. And there is a destiny for every person. There is a place called heaven and there is a place called hell. Everyone wants to go to heaven because we've all been good, haven't we? And we've been kind and we've been nice. But Jesus in his biography says, no. You need to understand that the only way you get into the place I've prepared for you, in the house with many rooms, is you've got to come through me. Jesus used the word, I am. I'm the good shepherd. No one comes through apart from through me. Jesus writes this in his biography. And death is a doorway to a different life. We will close our eyes, every one of us, unless Jesus returns first. We will take our last breath. We will close our eyes. We'll leave this world and we will go to another world. That will happen for every person, one in one, unless Jesus comes back and takes us beforehand. Aren't you glad you came today? See, in plan A that we've talked about, we can't live for ourselves for what this world offers. And many people do, don't they? They want to live for themselves. As long as I'm okay, Jack, as long as everything's all right with me, doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, it's going to be fine. But for Oasis Christian Centre, for the Oasis family, that's not fine. We are a different people. We do not live for what this life offers now. We live for plan A. That's what we need to live for, plan A. And with all the voices that are shouting, it's important we remain in the vine and we stay listening to his voice. And if he said it in the word of God, it'll happen. And if he hasn't said it, let's not worry about it. And if people tell us stuff that Jesus hasn't said, it's more than likely not right. And it's important that we understand this. So death will come, one in one. We mustn't live for what this life offers now. We live for plan A, for what Jesus wants. Destiny. Each of us who die, who live on this earth before Jesus returns, are destined for the grave. Our bodies perish, but our souls live on. Do you know that? Is everybody in the room aware that we're body, soul, and spirit? The body perishes. When we take our last breath, the body starts to decay. But not our spirit. Our spirit lives on. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not need to fear death. I was talking to Esther Thursday. I was talking about the time when I was really poorly here. Many of you won't know my story, but I was over in Israel. I contracted salmonella typhoid. I came back, I got sepsis, and basically I was going to meet my maker. Esther was called in to say goodbye, and during that time I can remember so many things vividly, lots of things I can't remember. But I remember being happy and ready to go. I'm ready to go to be with Jesus. It's fine. But something was stopping me leaving my body because my time wasn't ready. It wasn't right. Maybe because I've got to finish part 40. But I was ready to go because I knew there was something there for me so much better. For every Christian that puts their trust in Jesus, that says, Jesus, yes, you are the Son of the living God. Yes, I have forgiveness. Because I come to you and I ask for forgiveness and I put my trust in you. I believe that you died and you were resurrected from the dead. For each of us, we have a hope that is secure, that is steadfast, that Jesus has promised there is a place for us in eternity. But he's also said for those that reject me, there is not a place for you with me forever. And you know, I think one of the things, I don't know what hell is going to be like. I really don't. I imagine it's going to be a million times worse than you can even imagine. But one of the things will be, we'll have stood before the Lord Jesus Christ and we've realized what we've lost, what we've never had. And that will be hell. And if you have not yet put your trust in Jesus, and you're in this room today or you're watching, I have to say to you, and I plead with you, make a choice. Make the right choice today. Don't go to a place you don't want to go to and wish you'd have made a different choice. Because some of the scriptures that we read at the beginning were that many people will mourn when Jesus returns. Why? Because they've realized they've got it wrong. They've realized that Jesus is who he said he was, and they've missed it. Because there's no second chance. When Jesus returns, or if we take our last breath, that's the choice we've made. Some people go, well, there's purgatory, isn't there? You can live for 1,000 years and just work it out. You'll not find that in the Bible. If you can find it, show me. When time is up, that's it. There's no second chance. So today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the day you make a choice. And you live by it, and you die by it, and those are the decisions. But as a church, we are going to teach that one day Jesus will return, and we've got to get our lives right beforehand. And we are preparing ourselves for the return of the Lord Jesus. The benefits of following Jesus are out of this world. I say it quite often. Our benefits are not now, although we can enjoy life with the presence of the Holy Spirit. But our benefits are in heaven. And God will reward us for what we do as good soldiers in his army. He will reward us for eternity. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 to 9. Therefore, we are always confident and knowing that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. How do we live? By faith. Not by sight. How do we live? By faith. The Oasis Army needs to live by faith, not by sight. Not what we see with our natural eyes, because of what Jesus said, we believe it. If he has said it, we believe it. That settles it. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. What's the goal of this church going to be? Anybody want to guess? To please him. Why do we exist? To please the Lord. To bring pleasure to him. We are here to please the living God. The resurrection. The early believers asked the question, what would happen to them if Jesus came back before they died? This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead in the, will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. This body is not equipped to live forever. Did you know that? There are people in this room, like me, with bad backs. There are people in this room that have sicknesses. There are people in this room that have cancer. There are people in watching that are ill. There are people with all kinds of illnesses where the body is failing. I am now 59. If I live to be 80, I've lived 3/4 of my life, if I live to be 80. My body is already aching. But my new body will be able to go anywhere, supernaturally, from one universe to the other, in the blink of an eye, because we'll have new bodies. Bodies that will stand, withstand God's glory. So Jesus' return. Paul taught that when the trumpet blasts, Jesus will appear in the sky. Wow. I want to see that. I do. I really want to see that. I'd love to be in Israel when it happens. I'd love to be in the promised land when Jesus comes. Prayed that prayer once. Might be silly. But I said, Lord, when you come back, could you try and... If you haven't taken me, could I just be in Jerusalem? I'd love to be there. The followers of Jesus who are still alive will instantaneously receive a special body ready for eternity. Theologians call this a glorified body because, you know, it'll never contract a disease, it'll never wear out, and there'll never be pain, there'll be no sickness. Have a super body. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm looking forward to not carrying the camera down the stairs this morning and getting to the second but one step and my back nearly giving out on me. And the Bible tells us when we get to heaven, the bodies will be perfect. I am so looking forward to a perfect body. Forget Arnie Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. But Jesus said, you need to listen to my teachings. You need to take heed of what I'm saying, because there'll also be false messiahs that will declare that they are the Messiah. Or will declare that Jesus is coming back at a certain time. We've looked at this before. Let's look at this scripture. At this time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. Don't believe it. Listen, when Jesus returns in the sky, you don't need anybody to tell you he's come back. You won't. You will know. If somebody says, oh, did you know the Messiah's come back to the Ukraine? Not that he would return there, because he'll return back to Jerusalem. You haven't missed it. Don't worry. You're still doing the right thing. Because some people say, oh, you've missed the Messiah's return. It will be unmistakable. There will be no doubt that it is Jesus. Jesus' return will be apparent to everyone living in this world. And it will be plainly visible to everybody. Let's look at Matthew 24, verse 27, that Jesus writes in his biography. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus prophesies this in his chapters that have not yet become history. We will all see, those that are living here, Jesus' return. Jesus commissioned his disciples, didn't he? And he brought them to the mountain. And then Jesus goes into the sky. We look at that. And they watch him. Wow. Wow, Jesus. Wow, isn't that amazing? Two angels appear. They say to the disciples, the very same way you have seen Jesus, he will return in the very same place. So when I'm going to Israel next and we do a next tour, come along and we'll show you the region where Jesus will return. Acts 1 verse 10 verse 11. 1:10-11. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken away from you heaven will come back in the same way when you have seen him go to heaven. Jesus will not be reincarnated. Jesus will not come back quietly. He will not come back undercover. He will come back in power and in might. He will return physically, literally, through the clouds, and the events will be unmistakable. A shout, a trumpet blast, and no one will fail to recognize this is Jesus. But, say but, not everybody will be ready. Not everyone will be ready. Some people will be living their lives as they do every day. They'll be doing the same old thing that they do every day. And when they see Jesus, they won't be ready. But we need to be ready. You need to be ready. Without overkilling this, say to the person next to you, you need to be ready. And then you go and speak to yourself and say, Pastor Robin's saying, I need to be ready. And this is what we're preparing for as we transition for the Lord Jesus to return. When Jesus returns, everything will change. He will be a warrior king. He will utterly defeat every enemy on a global scale. Every nation will have to bow the knee. Every nation. And if they don't bow the knee and come to Jerusalem, their nation will not have food or water. It will starve. They will have to come every year to bow the knee. All leaders will have to come and bow the knee. And Jesus will take the world by storm. Not meek and mild. He will come with myriads of angels and he will take his kingdom by force. That's why we know it is him. No biography has transformed so many lives, nor will it transform so many lives. I pray your version of biography doesn't sit on the shelf and gather dust. Have you got a Bible that you don't read anymore? Give it to somebody else that can read it. There's a neighbour around the corner that needs to know. There's somebody at work that needs to know. Don't let the word of God gather dust. Stronger, better together, part 40. Are we ready for his return? Are we ready to be his witnesses? Are we ready to live this life for Jesus? Are we making disciples of others? You see, this is our mandate. This is our calling. This is our plan A. Yes? Are you with me?
Yes.
Do you believe me?
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes.
If you're in the army, on parade, before the commanding officer stands in front of you, someone will shout, "All present and correct, sir." Is that right? What do they say in the Navy? Say the same. All present and correct. As the commander of our army, Jesus Christ, walks through here, as we stand to attention, I hope to say, Jesus, we're all present and correct. We're ready. It's time to be ready. Don't build things in this world that you cannot take with you. Do you know how much the richest man in the whole world has to take with him when he leaves this earth? Nothing. He leaves it all behind. If you build for this what this world gives, you will be disappointed for the future. We're going to look at one verse to finish. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go." Can you say that? Go. Therefore go. "And make disciples of all nations." Let's just stop there. I am finishing, so worship team, I need you to get ready. Jane, I need you to get ready. Go and make disciples of all nations. Does it say go and make disciples of your local town? Is that what it says? What word does it use there? All nations. So our calling is not just for our town of Redditch. We are blessed from people from all different countries from here. Not every country. So I want you to shout out what country you're from. Starting with you, Richard.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. So another nation. Wales. Jamaica,
Ghana,
Nigeria,
Scotland,
Yorkshire, that's not a nation, Yorkshire tea, let's do it for Yorkshire tea, other nations, come on, Islands, South Africa, Romania, Kenya, Lithuania,
Hungary,
England, Ukraine, India. We've got a few, haven't we? Shall I tell you what part of our plan is going to be? Some of you are going to go and plant churches back there. or you're going to be involved in taking the word of God there, because you're going to learn it from here and you're going to take it there. This is why we've got all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, Kate, that I've commanded you. I've given Kate a little job to do for me. She's going to do some research and development. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What's the Oasis Army about? This verse. Learn it. It's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. This is where we're going now. This is where we're going to start unpacking over this next seasons that we're in. Is that okay, church? All present and correct? Let's stand to attention. Lord, I can't speak for other people in this room, but I can speak for my house. I can speak the words of Joshua that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will get ourselves ready, Lord. We will prepare our hearts. We will prepare our minds. We'll hold on lightly to the things of this world, and we will do your will. We will remain in the vine and not be distracted. We understand that you've given us authority over our town and our nations. And Lord, we will walk in that authority. We will pray for the sick. We will see them made well. We will pray for those people that are lost, and they will be found. And we will baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not just in this nation, but other nations. We will do it because you've called us to do it. And so, Lord, today we thank you that you have a plan and purpose for everybody in this church. And we ask, Lord, now, reveal your plan in a greater measure and help us, Lord, to be the people you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats for 1 minute. Jane, would you like to join me? If everybody in the room could just close their eyes for 1 minute, I'm going to give the opportunity. If anybody does not know the Lord Jesus Christ or has given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ yet, or wants to rededicate their life to the Lord Jesus, with everybody with their eyes closed, I'm going to ask, could you just stand where you are or place your hand up in the air? Because I would like to pray for you today if you want the opportunity to do that. If you need to do that at home, I think John Hill is on the online chat. Is there anybody in this room that wishes to do that? Then I'm presuming you're all ready and prepared. Thank you.
Thank you.